Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth canto, chapter 14, text number 20. I will do the same as Maharaj yesterday did. Just read one time the sloka because it's a little difficult to repeat. Although, if somebody wants to try, you can do.
Sa eva punar nidra jagara grihito nidetamasi makna sundyaranya iva setenan yat kinchyana veda sava iva pavida.
Somebody want to try? I read once again.
Sa eva puna nidra jagara grito ninde tamasi makna sumyaranya iva sete nanyat kinchana veda sava iva pavida. Sa,
that conditioned soul.
Eva,
certainly.
Puna,
again.
Nidra ajagara,
by the python of deep sleep.
Grita,
being devoured.
Ande,
in deep darkness.
Tamasi,
in ignorance.
Matna,
being absorbed.
Sunya aranye,
in the isolated forest.
Iva,
like.
Sete,
he lies down.
Na,
not.
Anyat,
else.
Kinchana,
anything.
Veda,
knows.
Sava,
a dead body.
Iva,
like.
Apavida,
thrown away. Translation interpreted by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Jai.
Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj.
Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit.
My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python.
Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep.
Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance.
They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest.
Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life.
Maybe you can repeat.
Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep.
Being bitten by this python,
They always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of this, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis of Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep, but they slept only about 2 hours and sometimes not even that. They always engage in spiritual cultivation. Nidrahara virakadi vijitao. Following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. Translation once again. Sukadev Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Pariksit. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Kripa Sandhabi Evishtya Patidam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pratyarine Nivishesha Srinivari Pashtatyada Satarine Om Ajnana Timarandasya Garandhyana Salakya Chaturam Vittam Jenitasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Rupa Sri Sanatan Bhattaraganat Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasaraganat Satko Swami Kindyai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Nara Sringa Dev Praladesha Jai Patma Mukha Patma Vrindam Om Namo Bhagavate Nara Sringa Namaste Dishte Dishte Ravir Virva Vradyanaka Vradyadam Stakkanamashyam Randyaram Vyatamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhyam Abhyam Atmani Bhujishishta Om Shram Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So I'm living in Antwerp and we have not like here regular classes every morning. So, and I also not speak so much. Before I was like going on Sangeetan. And so on the Sangeeta party, they have regularly classes, so you are more or less very much confident with all these verses. And so I joined the movement in 1977. And normally it was like that after a half year of following 16 rounds and four principles, you get Harinam initiation. And then after 1 year, you get Brahman initiation if you follow the process very strictly. So after half year, I took initiation, actually a little longer, because it was a switch from Prabhupada to initiation to Bhagavan, his initiation. Somebody here knows that. But not so long after my first initiation, I got second initiation. I was more or less, it sounds a little bit strange, but forced to take second initiation. And my Sangeetan leader, his name was Mahavidya, maybe you might know. One morning he came after the program, he came to me And he asked, do you want to take Brahmin initiation? Well, I said, Maharaj, I don't feel any competent to do this Brahmin initiation. I'm not ready for it yet. And then immediately he became really like very made angry. He was not really angry, but how can you say this? You're nonsense. How can you refuse this? This mercy. Actually, you should take Brahmin initiation. Because they needed somebody on the Sanghina party, a Brahmana, to give class. So so I was more or less like forced to become a Brahmana. I never have felt sorry about that, because things went on like that in that time. So yesterday also Mahanahari came to me and he said, do you want to give class, Purnatattva? He said, well, no. He said, are you here? I said, I don't know, sure. Yeah, he said, you should. Yeah? So you have to give class. So I felt a little bit, I remember like to being forced to take this Brahmin initiation. I'm forced to sit here a little bit to give class. So anyway, I try to speak a little on this matter, because it is known by everybody, the forest of enjoyment. We all are coming out of the forest of enjoyment, and some enjoy a little bit more than others, yeah? Because some have more luck to not get on their way very early in life. A python or a tiger or a lion or jackals, of all these animals which are described in these verses. So one way or another, fortunate or not fortunate, I met already in my very youth different problems. Yeah? I lost my father when I was 5. I lost my mother when I was 10. I went to different homes till my 21. Then I was said, and now you have to do it yourself. You know? So, actually, from the quite beginning, I saw the difference, because in that homes there's also, they're coming also children who have the same kind of problems. Divorced parents, or they cannot go on well with their parents, or their parents died. Yeah? So this all, this, so you already very much confronted with this forest of enjoyment, which is not so much enjoyable. So I felt very bad luck when I lost my mother when I was 10 and I had to go to different homes. But later, when I became a devotee, I could understand actually it was like a blessing in disguise. Because by that way, I got not attached to all kinds of family affection and family life. So it was quite, you kept a distance. Yeah? And I remember that in the first home I was, there was one very nice leader, and I started to hang on him like a, kind of seemed like a father figure. And I liked him very much. But then this man, he got some troubles with the director of the home. So he got fired or whatever, he went away. So one day or another, this man, he just went out of my life. I could say him goodbye on the station. And so I'm, then you feel like the pain of this attachment. So I already from young, I was thinking I should not get attached anymore to any person, because you switch all the time from home to home, from leader to leader. So in one way or another, I was in that way forced to see the reality of life and also not get too much attached to different kinds of persons. So for me it was good. It's not that for everybody it's good, yeah, because I don't hope that others should get that way to losing their parents. Or it has the pros and also the contrast. It has both ways. You lose a little bit of family affection, insurance of your personality, and so that is also there. You see in your life continues. You see these different things happening in your life. But Buddha, Lord Buddha, he was another person. He got the opposite. He was born in a royal family, as a prince, you know, he got all the affection one can imagine, all honor and attention, and so he was like overwhelmed with all the good things of life. So he didn't saw the black side of the forest. But until he was like grown up, and because human beings are very curious by nature, so he was curious what is outside of the palace. So when he was confronted with the outside world, so he could realize, actually, it's not heaven on earth. It's not at all like a very nice place to be. And he was confronted with death, with diseased people, with poor people, with birth, death, old age, and disease. So for him, like it was like a hammer on his head, because he was from, say, from 30 degrees, you know, nice weather, thrown in like 5 degrees water, you know, like it's a shock, you know, like it's a difference of temperature, you know, you get shocked. So he was like seeing the heaven on earth in the palace, but then he went out and he saw this worldly situation, which we take for granted more or less, but for him it was not. So it was like the opposite of his life. So it was like a hammer on his head. It woke him up. And what is this? So that is the danger of this world, is the illusion is that we grow slowly into it. Yeah. So when we take birth, we slowly growing into this world, waking up slowly, and we get used to the things as they are. And gradually, by this gradual process, it is not so much like waking us up what is going on. But Lord Buddha, he was wake up instantly by seeing all the problems of life. As Prabhupada, he many times mentioned birth, death, old age, and disease. And the Atmikas, they are there. So that is the illusion that we are, some of us are growing. Many of us here, they have had some realization, but many people, they grow up and they think life is heaven. Yeah? Life is enjoyable. Yeah? And they cannot see the reality. Yeah? So that is also what Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in his song, Jiv Jago. Wake up. Yeah? Lord Buddha was woken up. Yeah? So, but many conditioned souls, the most, they are not waking up. They are sleeping. They are walking into this world and they have no, like Prabhupada said, they don't know what's actually going on in life. They have no idea why they are here or what they are doing here. Their only attention is on how to enjoy in this forest of enjoyment. So that is the thing they can see. So until like Maya hits them on their head, you know. So they're sleeping, and in a certain moment, like the ring goes in the morning, you know, you show up. That's what's happening. That one way or another, then their parents die suddenly, or they get a car accident, or they get cancer, like Maharaj said yesterday. So then they get this hammer on their head also, and they woke up slowly for what is going on. And if not too bad, they start to sleep again. They fall asleep again. They give a bang on the ring, you know. And then they snore further, till the next hammer comes on their head. Yeah. So it is until they, after some time, everybody wakes up. Yeah. This life or that life, next life. Yeah. So this sleeping is also like something like a death. They say sleep is like dying. If you're asleep, you're not aware that you're living. And sometimes you have a dream, but most of the time when you're sleeping, you're not aware of your being alive and being a person. You are more or less like dead. And therefore, in different scriptures, the conditioned souls, who are in illusion, who are not spiritually awoken, they are called also dead persons, like zombies. Yeah? They live, and although they are dying, they are not really. So I remember one instance that's in the Bible, that when Jesus Christ was picking up his disciples, picking them up one month, was one man, and he said, "Rabbi, I would follow you." Yeah, and Jesus said, "Yes, you come, you follow me." And then he said, "Yes, yes, but I first have to bury, I think, my grandfather. He had died." And then Jesus Christ, he said something very nice. He said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Yeah. In other words, let they are who are spiritually dead, let they take care of the corpse. Yeah? But you who are woken spiritually, you should not bother this this dead body. So, because how can dead people bury dead people? That is impossible. So, it has a deeper meaning. So, he also called them dead. So, like, sleeping is like a little bit like dying. So, most people actually are like dead in life. And we are also in between, just at least me, we are, everybody to a different degree is waking up. Yeah. One is just woken up, he's still like dizzy, now there's more woken up, and you have persons who are fully awoken, and they can see reality of life. So, does Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wake up sleeping souls, wake up. Prabhupada is also the same. Prabhupada goes over the planet, and he wakes up everybody. And then he wakes up, stand up, go and chant Hare Krishna. And then the devotees, they go to the streets, do Harinam, and then they also waking up other people, and some people, they don't want to wake up, so they put the cushion over the ears, like this, they put a finger in the ears, because they don't want to be woken up. Don't disturb my dream. Let me dream. I was dreaming so nicely. And sometimes you have that. You wake a person. No, I am dreaming. Don't disturb my dream. So that is what the acharyas do. They waking up the spirit souls. And they're waking us up for spiritual life. And we are actually not aware of this. That is what said. The conditioned soul cannot understand what is going on in life. But even now, so much is going on, which also we, as devotees, sometimes we are not aware of. And sometimes also because we get complacent, and we get nicely situated. We have every day, we have our natje en droogje. Our wet and our dry. They say our natje and our droogje. Our wet, our drinking and our eating. Nice place to sleep. Everything goes very comfortable. So we are tending also sometimes to fall a little bit asleep or to dizz a little bit. So then some person comes, some guru acharya, and he wake up the whole thing. What are you doing? You're nonsense. Do something. But many things are going on in the world, and I'm just in my home. I'm reading the chapter in the Bhagavatam of the demons and the demigods. They churning the ocean of milk, and they get all things out of it. They cooperate together, but this cooperation is just for getting something. It's not because of friendship. And demons and devotees normally, and they don't cooperate together. But one way or another, they got in cooperation with each other for a higher purpose. They want to have the nectar of eternity, the Amrit. And that was the only reason why actually they cooperated very nicely together. And they suffered both to get this Amrit and this nectar of eternity. But by going to the chapter, you also become aware of the principle that's also in the Gita, of the divinity and the divine. That there are only two people in this world, the demons and the devotees. And in between there, of course, there are some ignorant people, but mostly they are either they act demonically or as devotees, as demigods. And if you go to all the scriptures, you see the Bible, the Quran, the Vedas, you see also these wars, there's constantly fighting going on between the demons and the devotees. So on this moment, we might think it's not, but actually it's even now, this is going on, also on this planet Earth. And on the planet Earth, that the demons, they are very active. The devotees, more or less, they are of the demigods, let's say, they are losing, more and more territory. Yeah, the demons take more and more over, and actually they are planning to take over the planet. There's a plan, really a thought out plan, to take control of the whole world. Like Hitler had that plan, Napoleon had that plan. And there are always demons who have this plan, because they're out of power. The first thing what a person wants is like sleeping and laziness and some sense gratification. And then the second thing what he wants is to earn a lot of money, and so that he can gratify his senses. And then you have also persons who going after not after money anymore, because they say higher than money is power. So they are really much lusty for power. So they try to take control over the whole planet, just for exploiting them to have their power, but also for exploitation, for their sense gratification. And it is going on now, but it was also going on 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, Krishna came himself. Yada yadahi dharmasya grani bhavati bharata. Abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sreyamiham. Paritanaya sadhanam vinasyam saduskidam dharmasam sthapanatya sambhavami yuge yuge. He came to diminish the demonic qualities, demonic powers. So, and therefore actually he said, Arjuna, that actually I've chosen you to be an instrument in my hands. So 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna says, you have to kill them all. Some people, they are very sentimental. But Krishna says, don't be sentimental, because Arjuna had the same thing. He said, don't be sentimental, because the warriors who fight for the good cause, they go to the heavenly planets. And your grandfather Bhishma and Drona, actually they are old people, so they get a new body, a fresh body. So actually, don't worry, actually the soul continues. He said that the world has been purified of this adharmic personalities, so that things can go on. Like if you have a farmer and he planting some crops, so in a certain moment some weeds come up, so he can be sentimental. He said, oh yeah, but these weeds are also living entities, they also have to live. So, no, actually, because if you don't do anything, then the weeds takes over and you have nothing to eat, so you die. So you take out the weeds. So Lord Krishna, 5,000 years ago, he came to put out the weeds, so that that dharma can flourish and that spirit souls can develop, and ultimately can go back to Godhead. Because Yudhisthira was a very rishi, a very pious person. But Duryodhan, actually, he was not, he was an adharmic person. He was planning to take control of the world, and it is said that when Duryodhan was controlling for some time, everything went nice. Everybody had to eat, to sleep, to mate, to defend. Everything was going on. But still, Krishna said, no, I don't want him. Because actually, he's not for dharma. He's not guiding people towards liberation out of the material world. He is not helping the people out of the forest of enjoyment. Actually, he encourages the people to enjoy the world. So And therefore he said, I want to change who is the ruler. And so he want to make Yudhisthira the ruler, because Yudhisthira know what is Dharma. Why he chose Yudhisthira? Somebody knows? Yes. Yeah, he's the son of Dharmaraj. So he's like, you know, he says the qualities of his father. He was very much aware of what is Dharma and what is Adharma. So, and therefore he established Yudhisthira on the throne. And you can say, all these hundreds and thousands of people who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, these poor people. But what is the use? Yeah, to live a long life and to make not any progress spiritually and come back birth after birth. So that is useless. So therefore Krishna has a plan with this world to purify the conditioned souls. Therefore he changed, you know, the control. So now, you know, after 5,000 years, things are still going on. So therefore Prabhupada, he was sent to the West also to establish Dharma, and also to create an army, actually, because that was also Prabhupada's plan, to create an army of devotees. Only not that the devotees now should all buy shoot guns and weapon themselves and go out and kill the demons, because in this period, Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had another process. And that was a Sangeet and Yajna, and Bhakti, and love, you know. So on the summer festival, we were distributing sweet balls, you know. And we still call them ISKCON bullets, you know. Because they are like products of love. And we make them for the people, so that the people get attracted to Krishna consciousness. And so they are very much, you know, enthusiastic, and they like it very much, and that way they get attracted to Krishna consciousness. But it's still, yeah, what Prabhupada also said is that that if they make it too much difficulty, like in New Virginia, they also like they were like shooting on the devotees and throwing fire bombs, you know. And then the devotees asked, can we weapon ourselves? And Prabhupada said, yes, we are not sentimentalist, we are not pacifist. If necessary, you know, we can take up weapons. If necessary, so if they, but in principle, we are like outgoing with love, with love and service and devotion to the people. But if necessary, he said, we can do that. So I have on my computer, I have a sticker. I found somebody somewhere a sticker. And it said, we should not make it easy for them. We should not make it easy for them. And so as devotees, you know, we should not make it easy for the demons to take over the world. Or to even try to take over the world. We should be in between them. You know, we should give them a hard time. And we should also be aware of what they are doing. That they are really like going on. Sometimes we feel like putting a billboard on the street and making an advertisement to Hare Krishna. Oh, maybe people don't like it or that. But I think we should not think like this. Is they with 180 miles an hour, they promoting everywhere sense gratification. So if we put somewhere a banner of Hare Krishna, we should not be shy. You know, we should be very vigilant like that. And try to make it difficult. Everybody should be like every devotee should be like a saboteur, you know, a terrorist for the demoniac society. Yeah? Legal terrorism. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. He's the supreme emperor. Yeah? Prabhupada is his general. Yeah? And Prabhupada's followers, you know, like all like these colonels in the army of the devotees. So I was brought up in that mood, in Hare Krishna movement. We were an army, a Sankirtan army. And we had our tanks and we had our bullets, and we went out on Sankirtan, you know, and we lived like soldiers. And I remember that that I also at some time I could not carry the books anymore because I had some handicap, so I was going out with paintings, and we had a tube with paintings, but it was like a bazooka, you know, with a band. And I remember that on the end of the day, I was, because I put the car somewhere, and then the car was like 2-3 miles further. I had to walk back. So I remember I was always like walking, like marching, you know. Hari, Haraya. I was walking like this, back to the car. Like I feel like a soldier, you know. And it's okay, because we are not like a monastery, you know. In a monastery, yeah, they're all monks, they're all priests, they're all brahmanas. But Prabhupada said, I didn't create a monastery, I created a society. And in the society, we should have all the different classes. Yeah? We should have workers, we should have businessmen, we should have managers, and also even army people. Yeah, or security people, whatever, and we should have priests and brahmanas, and so there's a necessity. I said this because last Sunday there were like some persons, and I heard they were also being here in the temple room and dancing in an obscene way before Prabhupada. So some devotees there complaining, but some should be some devotees who can stop that, yeah? Not that. Some person come with a little group, you know, and then they can do what they want in the temple. No, there should be some devotees who can stop that, who say, yeah. Like in any organization or whatever, there are some security people. So, and that gives also like a chance for some devotees who have this nature to express themselves. And then also the society can grow. Because like a security man has also a security wife, has a wife, and there are children. And in that way also the society can grow. Open up for also people who have that mood, who want to have this satya mood, and also of have a business mood. We should welcome them, because this is a, I think, I don't want to speak on my way, but I think this is a leefgemeenschap, Hare Krishna leefgemeenschap, not the Hare Krishna monastery. So that, in that way the society can grow. But I don't speak too much loudly, because see, we tried to build up something in Antwerp, but it's not growing also. But I wanted to say the thing that came in my mind. Okay, I will stop here, because you see this time. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Hare Krishna. There are some questions? Or commentaries? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Mantaraj ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.